Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 4th. Burns sets retirement date from chamber. Evan Thomas expected to become next CEO. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Chamber of Commerce announced its president and CEO, Bobby Burns, will retire in August 2024. The chamber also announced that Evan Thomas will join the Midland Chamber of Commerce as chief operating officer beginning July 2023, with the intent to assume the president and CEO role pending a final board review and vote in 2024. Burns, a former mayor of Midland, joined the chamber in March 2011. Quote, "Leading a chamber of commerce was a long-held dream of mine, and it's been an honor to make that dream a reality in a community such as Midland," Burns said in a news release. Under Burns' leadership, the chamber has implemented new initiatives and programs while improving upon traditional offerings. Midland Chamber officials said the adoption of a transition plan will allow the organization to continue to function as the voice of business on the community. Thomas has spent his career in public service and is currently Deputy Chief of Staff for U.S. Representative August Pfluger. Quote, "Evan will bring a plethora of strengths to the table as Chief Operating Officer," Burns said. "His ability to lead a team, connect with decision makers, and think strategically will serve him and the chamber well. We are excited to have him on board to strengthen our advocacy efforts as well. As part of the transition plan, I'm excited to have this time to team up with Evan with the goal of a smooth transition to the position of president and CEO during the chamber's 100th year of operation," end quote. Pfluger described Thomas as an outstanding public servant. Quote, "He's an incredible leader in the Midland community who will succeed in this role as he continues his public service," the San Angelo Republican said in a statement. "My team and I will miss him, but we look forward to working together for the benefit of Midland and beyond," end quote. Thomas and his family have established strong roots in the community, according to the news release. Quote, "I'm excited to join Bobby and this incredible chamber team as we begin our second century of operation," Thomas said in the release. "We have a successful history of founding programs and organizations that have greatly enhanced our community, and I believe our future is even brighter." Finalist, Anglin to rely on leadership experience. Current Cisco College president labeled his management style as collaborative. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Thad Anglin, president of Cisco College since 2016, was the last finalist to participate in Midland College's presidential forum on Wednesday. Anglin is the only finalist with experience as a community college president. He labeled his management style as collaborative and said shared governance is a part of his current college's policies when it comes to leadership and decision-making. Anglin said it's wise to look to the expertise and talent of Midland College's faculty, staff, and administration when it comes to gathering information to make important decisions. He added the administration needs to have a focus on increasing enrollment and putting students in a position to be successful. The candidate said he's a positive person who has spent 30 years in higher education at both four-year colleges and community colleges. He told those at one of two forums on Wednesday that he falls back on his wealth of experience when faced with challenges. Quote, "There's not a lot I haven't seen," Englund remarked. Cisco College and Midland College share a couple similarities, he said, but there are significant differences between the two institutions. Bob Holden, who led the Presidential Search Committee and moderated the forums, said the tax base at Cisco College is around $700 million and brings in $1.2 million. The tax base at Midland College is around $45 billion and takes in around $34 million per year. Given his experience at different institutions throughout his career, Englund wasn't fazed by the monetary differences between the two colleges. He stated he was an administrator at Lone Star College for part of his career, where he managed a large, complex budget, he said. Englund also said he's been able to lead Cisco College, putting it in a positive financial position and improving graduation rates at an institution that doesn't have as many resources as Midland College does. Englund discussed positive aspects of Midland College he can continue to build on if he were to take office. He said he's noticed the positivity on campus and good attitude from those he's met during his visit. He plans to continue to build on it during his time. Englund illustrated the importance of career and technical training as it concerns community colleges. He said a story that the approximately 50 community colleges statewide could tell more often is how they're responsible for training the next generation of the American workforce that is going to continue to move the Texas economy forward. He said if he becomes Midland College's next president, he will meet with local industry leaders to gather information about the kind of employee they're looking for. In conclusion, Englund was asked where he sees Midland College in 5 years. He said even before that, he will most likely conduct a salary study to investigate the college's salary structure and faculty pay. He plans that the school will see an improvement in enrollment and student success. Pioneers Sheffield is ready for retirement. Outgoing Pioneer Natural Resources CEO feels his successor is ready to take the reins at Pioneer. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. When Scott Sheffield agreed in 2019 to return to his post as Chief Executive Officer of Pioneer Natural Resources, it would be for 3 years. Quote, "Then COVID happened, and the board decided to consolidate, acquiring Parsley Energy and Double Point Energy, and it ended up being almost 5 years," he told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. Nearing 71 years, he told the board it was time to focus on the succession plan, which will see Rich Dealey, current president and chief operating officer, take on the role of CEO when Sheffield retires again at the end of the year. Quote, "Rich is ready this year," Sheffield said, noting that the 7 months before his actual retirement is the same length of time as in 2016 when Tim Dove was chosen to succeed him. Quote, "Rich is ready," he repeated. "I've accomplished all I set out to accomplish, making Pioneer a leader in the Permian Basin, reducing flaring, reducing methane and CO2 emissions, changing the capital framework, and increasing efficiencies," end quote. For his part, Dealey told the Reporter-Telegram his new position will offer great opportunities and great challenges. Quote, "I plan to continue what we've been doing, which is focus on strategy," Dealey said. "I think we have great strategy moving forward," end quote. "Execution will be a focus," he said, citing Pioneer's development of wells with lateral lengths in excess of 15,000 feet that provide significant capital savings on a per-foot basis and generate returns that are on average 20% higher than a 10,000-foot lateral well. Pioneer expects to put more than 100 wells with 15,000-foot laterals on production this year. Pioneer will also continue its focus on reducing emissions, expecting 100% of its completions fleets to be either electric, the company is constructing high lines to power operations, or dual fuel powered by the second half of the year. A partnership with NextEra Energy Resources is developing a 140-megawatt wind generation facility on Pioneer acreage on the Hutt Ranch in southeastern Midland County. Dealey will also oversee Pioneer's expansion of its focus beyond the Spraberry trend to the Barnett Shale, budgeting between $150 million and $200 million, principally for drilling 4 Barnett-Woodford Formation wells in the Midland Basin and additional testing of the company's enhanced oil recovery project. Quote, "We're taking what we have, a million-acre footprint, and expanding. There are EOR opportunities for us, opportunities for longer-term carbon capture. We're only producing 6 to 8% of our resources. Getting 50% more would be terrific for the basin," he said. Sheffield was born into the industry, the son of an ARCO executive. In 1979, he was the 5th employee of Pioneer's predecessor, Parker & Parsley Petroleum, rising to CEO 6 years later and chairman in 1991. Looking over that career, Sheffield said he is proud of making the Permian Basin the world's largest producing basin. Quote, "It wasn't just me, it was 2,000-plus great employees," he said. The toughest part of his career came after Parker & Parsley merged with Mesa Incorporated in 1997 to form Pioneer. That was just before commodity prices collapsed to $10 a barrel, prompting the company to go through significant restructuring. For his part, Dealey said the company's more than 2,000 employees working to add energy supplies the world needs offers an exciting opportunity. He said he is proud of them and what they do to provide needed energy. The challenge, as for every company in the industry, will be navigate commodity prices, which he noted Pioneer cannot control. Quote, "The other challenge is volatility in the world," Dealey said. "Plus, we don't know what future challenges will look like." End quote. What Pioneer can do, he said, is focus on execution and becoming more efficient and more productive, and build a strong balance sheet to help weather any economic downturns. Hillcrest Barbecue Team earns another trip to state cook-off. Midland School shows it can compete with state's big boys. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. For the Hillcrest School, the high school barbecue circuit has been more than an extracurricular activity. It has been a chance to compete with the big boys inside Midland County, across West Texas, and around the state. However, heading into its second straight High School Barbecue Incorporated State Championship, Hillcrest's Eagle Q team can rightfully claim its status as a big boy and, more importantly, a state qualifier. This weekend, Hillcrest joins Midland High and Greenwood as county schools that have qualified teams for the 102-team state competition. Only one, however, is a returnee, and that is Hillcrest, which finished 13th last year. Quote, "That gives them a chance to compete on the same level as every other school," Coach David Tilley said. "They will even compete against my old high school, Kerrville Tyvee. They are UIL Classification 6A. Other teams from Midland County set to participate in the state championship cook-off to be held at Dell Diamond Field in Round Rock are Midland High teams Ring of Fire and Up in Smoke, and Greenwood's Smokin' Rangers and Sizzlin' Rangers. A barbecue team from Legacy High School will compete in the Texas High School Barbecue Association qualifier in Burnet. Other high schools around the region set to compete at one event or the other include Big Spring High School, Grady High School, and Rankin High School. Rankin's Hot and Ready team was the only area team with a higher place than Hillcrest in 2022. They finished 11th. Hillcrest captured its berth in the state competition, claiming the reserve championship at a regional cook-off, coincidentally won by the Greenwood Smokin' Rangers in Reagan County. That put the 2023 HS BBQ Incorporated State Championship on the Hillcrest calendar, not that the school's first-year coach needs a reminder. Quote, "They never stopped talking about," Telly said of his team. "For the past 2 weeks, they come by the office and ask, are you ready for state?" End quote. The Hillcrest team is made up of Dylan Hampton on ribs, Clayton Jones, beans and ribs, Gavin Martinez, pitmaster and brisket, Jackson Stout, chicken, Cameron Weidig, dessert, Bryant Floyd, chicken, Colton Phillips, ribs, and Austin Rosser, brisket and beans. The high school competition involves making 5 dishes, brisket, ribs, chicken, beans, and desserts. The points added up from all 5 events make a team score, and the team with the best team score is selected as grand champion or first place. The students cook the food, as coaches and parents can't be within the perimeter of the cooking area. Hillcrest's venture into cook-offs started in 2019-2020 when parent Steve Forquin assembled a team. That year, Hillcrest defeated the defending HS BBQ Incorporated state champion to win a competition. What has been donated for Eagle Q is a trailer to help transport Hillcrest's 3 drum smokers. Each drum is dedicated to a certain meat. Quote, "When they started, I think they started realizing they were good," Tilly said, "and they cared more and more about doing well." End quote. When the students get to each competition, they are provided their meats. The meat at state will be provided by the Nolan Ryan Beef Company, Tilly said. The students then are in control. They wake up at 4 a.m. to get to the competition at 4:30. The cooking is wood-based, and that requires those participating to pay attention to temperature and other weather conditions. Make a mistake with the wood, and that will change how the meat is smoked, Tilly said. One other thing. Hillcrest's Eagle Q team has no seniors, so the lone school in the county that is making its second straight appearance in the HS BBQ Incorporated State Championship will have the team coming back next year. Hillcrest School is a private, not-for-profit, Cognia-accredited school for students with learning differences in grades K through 12. They specialize in helping students with dyslexia and attention deficit hyperactivity.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for Saturday, May 6th, 2023. Developer of $125 million hotel to come before city council to vote to negotiate with developer, which wants abatements for a long time, by Stuart Doreen. Midland city leaders will vote Tuesday to negotiate with a developer on the hotel project to fill downtown space, including land where the former Western United Life building once stood. City documents show that the Hotel Santa Rita has been selected by a city committee, including Scott Duffer, Dan Corrales, and John Norman, as the best of 4 proposals turned in by March 31st. Midland Downtown Renaissance LP MDR was the selected proposal based on the scoring criteria. The project, to be be built is a 135-key, high-quality, full-service hotel and parking on adjacent land to the proposal property in downtown Midland. Our preliminary analysis indicates the project could cost approximately $125 million to $140 million, not including Phase 2, the structured parking garage. MDR's response to the RFP indicates the hotel will be situated on a surface parking lot owned by FMI directly west of the Centennial Park and Bush Convention Center. The response to the RFP also indicates private investors that have expressed a commitment to investing in this project understand the challenges and are willing to make a civic-oriented investment that, one, has a low rate of return for them, two, returns their capital from the future debt recapitalizations, and on Tuesday, the Midland City Council will decide if it wants to negotiate with a developer that wants to put a hotel in downtown Midland. Midland Downtown Renaissance LP is the developer. Information on a city document calls the project Hotel Santa Rita. Here are things to know about the hotel project. Hotel amenities, 8,000 square feet. Four separate meeting rooms, 500 to 5,000 square feet each. 4,000 square feet, three meal restaurant and bar, approximately 185 seats. Lobby bar, market cafe featuring coffee, snacks, beverages, and sundries. Resort pool, room service, concierge service, retail locations along four levels of parking garage. Hotel room information, 135 rooms, king rooms 85, 350 square feet, queen rooms 30, 350 square feet, suites 20, 1,400 square feet. Entities involved, Midland Downtown Renaissance LP or MDR is a collaborative effort by leading Midland-based companies and private investors and Franklin Mountain Investments. Franklin Mountain Investments, Scarborough Foundation, Headlock Investment Company, OGX Minerals, Roundtree Design, Jordan Foster Construction, Overland, HHM, Source, City of Midland. This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for Saturday, May 6th, 2023. Developer of $125 million hotel to come before city. Council to vote to negotiate with developer, which wants abatements for a long time. By Stuart Doreen. Midland city leaders will vote Tuesday to negotiate with a developer on the hotel project to fill downtown space, including land where the former Western United Life building once stood. City documents show that the Hotel Santa Rita has been selected by a city committee, including Scott Dufford, Dan Corrales, and John Norman, as the best of four proposals turned in by March 31st. Midland Downtown Renaissance LP MDR was the selected proposal based on the scoring criteria. The project to be built is a 135-key, high-quality, full-service hotel and parking on adjacent land to the proposal property in downtown Midland. Our preliminary analysis indicates the project could cost approximately $125 million to $140 million, not including Phase 2, the structured parking garage. MDR's response to the RFP indicates the hotel will be situated on a surface parking lot owned by FMI directly west of the Centennial Park and Bush Convention Center. The response to the RFP also indicates private investors that have expressed a commitment to investing in this project understand the challenges and are willing to make a civic-oriented investment that, one, has a low rate of return for them, two, returns their capital from the future debt recapitalizations, and on Tuesday, the Midland City Council will decide if it wants to negotiate with a developer that wants to put a hotel in downtown Midland. Midland Downtown Renaissance LP is the developer. Information on a city document calls the project Hotel Santa Rita. Here are things to know about the hotel project. Hotel amenities, 8,000 square feet. Four separate meeting rooms, 500 to 5,000 square feet each. 4,000 square feet, three meal restaurant and bar, approximately 185 seats. Lobby bar, market cafe featuring coffee, snacks, beverages, and sundries. Resort pool, room service, concierge service, retail locations along four levels of parking garage. Hotel room information, 135 rooms, king rooms 85, 350 square feet, queen rooms 30, 350 square feet, suites 20, 1,400 square feet. Entities involved, Midland Downtown Renaissance LP or MDR is a collaborative effort by leading Midland-based companies and private investors and Franklin Mountain Investments. Franklin Mountain Investments, Scarborough Foundation, Headlock Investment Company, OGX Minerals, Roundtree Design, Jordan Foster Construction, Overland, HHM, source, City of Midland. MISD adjusts to comments made about potential bond cost. Howard said concerns were raised about $900 million cost to build new high schools by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD leaders heard comments from the community about a possible $900 million price tag to build two new high schools. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said multiple times Thursday night that she heard concerns about the potential price tag, and some alterations were made to Thursday's presentation to the Midland ISD Bond Planning Committee to keep costs associated with middle school and elementary school improvements as low as possible. Midland ISD officials told committee members Thursday at Yarbor Elementary a $900 million bond program would have a $256.26 annual impact to people with an average home value inside the district. The district showed an average home value of $341,046. That tax impact was $134.40 a year for a home with a value of $200,000, $393.50 for a home value of $500,000, and $609.60 for a home value of $750,000. The interest and sinking tax rate increase associated with a $900 million bond election would raise the rate from 0.0702 to 0.1662, which would be in the middle of the INS rates of larger school districts across West Texas. The INS tax rate is levied by districts to pay for any bond debt that may have been issued to fund the construction of schools and facilities. On Thursday, no decision was made about a plan concerning middle schools, grades 6 through 8. Although it was decided the committee wanted more information about using at least three facilities, the current Legacy High, and Midland Freshman High School campuses. Bond planning committee members also will get information about costs and impact to enrollment if the current Legacy Freshman High School is used. That would bring the number of middle schools under the bond plan to 8, 4 feeding into MHS and 4 into Legacy. Elementary school options presented to the committee included building one new elementary school and then redrawing boundaries to spread student population to other campuses. During the meeting, one committee member insisted that a new school be built in South Midland. The recommendation of the long-range planning committee called for a new elementary school to be built in the northeast to handle the growth taking place in the State Highway 349 corridor. Officials also showed a plan that doesn't build a new elementary school, but spreads students across already existing campuses. The thought is that moving sixth grade students to middle schools will help take pressure off existing facilities. The redrawing lines will help avoid the need for new facilities. Enrollment growth. Midland ISD showed 10-year histories and forecasts for enrollment. The district showed enrollment grew by an average of 1.9% a year over the last 10 years, from 23,319 in 2013 to 27,821 in 2023. The district also showed using an anticipated average annual growth of 1.6 over the next 10 years. The enrollment at Midland ISD will grow by 4,325 from 27,821 in 2023 to 32,146 in 2033. Potential timeline. A bond referendum for 2023. A campaign would start in August and end in November. The planning of new high schools, assuming voters approve a referendum, it would be in January 2024 and end in April 2025. The construction of high schools, it would begin in August 2025 and end in March 2028. The conversion of freshman or senior high schools into middle schools, less than a four-month turnaround from May 2028 to August 2028. Victoria Prince returns to Midland. Realtor says return about quality of life, not closings, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Victoria Prince has returned to Midland, but not exactly to dominate the real estate market. One of Midland's most well-known realtors decided she needed a break after career-defining years in 2017-19. The difference in 2016 and 2017 was about a 40% increase in my closings, said Prince, who estimated her closing reached around 300 annually during that three-year whirlwind. Those had been the biggest years ever and why I left in 2020. Prince needed a break and ventured to Vail, Colorado, where she became a house sitter in a $25 million home built by the former lead singer of Metallica, James Hetfield. 12,000 square feet of fabulousness is how she described the mountain home in a 2020 interview. Tired of the snow and cold weather, she made the trek to Austin, where she took a stab at one of Texas's most bustling real estate markets. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center shows the average home sold in a month inside Travis County peaked at $807,000, more than double Midland's last year. Certainly, there was money to be made during her stay in the capital city, but what Prince gained was an understanding that she didn't know what she had in Midland until she was gone. What I found was, having been here my whole life, I don't go anywhere that you don't see people you know, whether it's the grocery store, getting gas, or wherever, said Prince. I was just super lonely, which was a huge surprise because I really thought when I left that I would enjoy blending in and not being worried about whether I had lipstick on to go to the grocery store or not. I was going to the grocery store just to make eye contact with somebody. I just miss my community. Less billboards, more carpool. Being one of the top realtors comes at a cost. Prince said when she left in 2020, she was spending around $11,000 a month on billboards. Those days are in the past, she promises. I love to be on the billboard, Prince said. But, you know, with the billboard comes a lot more business. I don't need to make as much money because I'm not spending as much money, which means more quality time with my family and friends. Her hope is the next stage of her real estate career and life isn't about professional closings, but personal contact. She is again officed in Realtor Row on the north end of Big Spring Street, just south of Loop 250. However, the Victoria Prince and Company office isn't as big. It doesn't need to be. She just needs a space for her abundant wall art, her marketing machinery, and two other realtors who may or may not work from home on a given day. I still have a magnificent career, Prince said, but I don't have to be on the billboard. She can also fulfill a goal of being a carpool aunt to a pair of preteens who are my heart, she said. Learning the ways of the carpool culture took a few trips, but seeing family has made it all worthwhile. Still about marketing. Anyone who's done business with Prince knows the effort she puts into marketing. It's a lot more than refrigerator magnets, although she's been known to send them to prospective clients. The day of this interview, she was preparing the latest mailer to remind people that she, Sarah Bradbury, or Kelly Looney can help. The envelope also included a postcard-size alert calling all volunteers because the Midland Friends of Libraries and Literacy needs volunteers. There is also a note to remind clients of a Kendra Gives Back party, which promised to provide 20% of purchases would go to centers. This is my fourth mail out this year, Prince said. Bradbury, a transplant from Alaska, said Victoria ups the ante on marketing, enough that she sends pictures of Prince's marketing efforts to her team in Anchorage. She's constantly thinking about people, which I don't know how somebody that busy can think about people, Bradbury said. It is just the little things. It can be something from a Dollar Tree that is put in a pretty package, just something to show people that you're thinking about them. Another run in Midland. Over the years, Prince, a Midland High graduate, has left Midland for a stint in the cruise ship industry and more recently to take a leap of faith and recharge her batteries. Still, she is one of Midland's most accomplished realtors with the closings to prove it. Real estate is in her blood, and her mother, Jeannie, was in the business. Working for Don Harvey Realtors, Jeannie passed away early this year. Returning to Midland allows Victoria to help her father through a period of adjustment. I was really sad about my mom, but so grateful that I was here these last few months, Prince said. Will Victoria be back on a billboard? Maybe, but the pace she sets for herself will not resemble 2017 to 2019. If I would have continued, I don't think I would be here, she said, of the breakneck pace. Really, I think I would have fallen over. Victoria Prince knows how to make a pitch, whether it is to a group of people in the Woodlands hesitant about a transfer to Midland or repeat customers in Midland looking to put their home on the market. Ultimately, though, no pitch was needed for her to return to Midland. It was great to be home, Prince said. I never thought I would be so thrilled and appreciative to live here in Midland, Texas, USA. City seeks new animal services manager by Stuart Doreen. City of Midland is looking for a new animal service manager. The new person will replace Ty Coleman, who the city released after he did not meet probation. Coleman's tenure as animal services manager includes some new programs, a high-profile relationship with the nonprofit group Fix West Texas, and a record of lower animal intakes and lower euthanasia totals. The City of Midland reported this week that there were 6,190 animal intakes in the last 12 months prior to Coleman's arrival in Midland, an average of 515 a month. The city also reported the number of intakes from July 2022 through April averaged 429. The average number of animals euthanized a month dropped from 142 to 102. The numbers show that the percentage of animals that went through intake that ultimately were euthanized fell from 27.89% to 23.84%. The job notice for a new manager includes the scopes of work, which include directs all phases of the animal control program, supervises field and shelter operations and coordinates field activities, performs other duties as required for smooth and efficient operations of the program, set and enforce departmental policies and procedures. It is the last scope, interim city manager Morris Williams emphasized in a conversation about the opening. What we are responsible for as a city is 1. Safeguarding public health, 2. Protecting animal welfare, and 3. Providing community care and services for animals that have come into our shelter. The City of Midland will provide the next animal services manager with a relatively new 18,400 square foot facility. It opened in October 2021 and a $2,323 million Animal Services Division budget, which is not only an increase of 31% compared to the previous fiscal year, but a jump of $1 million or 75% compared to fiscal year 2019, according to animal service budgets provided by the city. That includes an increase in base salaries for animal services employees from $523,100 in fiscal year 2019 to $991,402 this year, an increase of 89%. The Midland City Council has been supportive, Williams said. Put your money where your mouth is. The council has done that. The new manager is slated to make $84,000 a year. The City of Midland is also hiring a veterinarian for the Animal Services Division. Williams said the new manager will continue to build relationships with Midland's animal support groups and local rescues. There also will be work to be done in the community with education programs, specifically spay and neuter opportunities. The final piece is to take care of animals within the shelter to keep it clean and sanitized, Williams said. Coleman speaks out. The now former animal services manager immediately went to social media last week to announce his release from the position with the City of Midland. Coleman said on his Facebook page, "You're told it's a safe space to speak and try to guide the city management and advise them of potential issues, but become the bad guy because you spoke up about said potential issues and they get hurt when it doesn't go the way they expected it to. Even when I advised them on an issue and didn't agree with their response, I still followed my orders and did what I was asked. Not once was I ever insubordinate in any way, and now I regret not following my gut." This week, Coleman told television station KOSA that he wasn't counseled or disciplined or coached in any way where they could evaluate me to grow and help me go in the vision of what the city wanted. Fix West Texas was a fierce advocate for Coleman, taking many of the Midland City Council and City Manager to task during a public comment session after the April 25th council meeting. one incident referenced in the KOSA report and during the public comment period was a decision to open the shelter again, the wishes of Coleman and Fix West Texas officials, a decision they said resulting in the euthanasia of a number of animals. City officials have consistently said they will not address Coleman's release or allegations as it was a personnel decision. Williams did tell the Reporter-Telegram that comments that city management doesn't care about animals were unfair. Obituaries. Melba June Earp, 10/19/1934 to 4/26/2023. Melba, 88, was born in Tyler, Texas to her parents, Haywood and Addie Haskins. In addition to growing up in Tyler, she also lived in Wichita Falls, Texas, and Midland, Texas. A come-and-go celebration of her life will take place at Fannin Terrace Baptist Church in Midland, Texas, May 13, 2023, at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to First Baptist Church, Glenrose, Texas. Terry Tubb, August 30, 1942 to April 30, 2023. Terry Douglas Tubb passed away naturally in his sleep after an extended illness on Sunday, April 30, 2023. He was born on August 30, 1942 to Nathan and Frida Tubb on a Sunday after church in Levelam, Texas. Graveside services will be by Prestridge Funeral Home, Levelam, Texas on May 13, 2023 at 11 a.m. in the city of Levelam Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction and personal care of the professionals at Crestridge Funeral Home, 806-897-1111. This is Christy, and I'm reading Odessa American for Saturday, May the 6th, 2023. Updated, pedestrian killed early Sunday in Midland by Odessa American. The Midland Police Department is investigating a crash that took the life of 43-year-old man early Sunday morning. According to a news release, MPD received a 911 call around 2 a.m. from the 200 block of East Florida Avenue about a pedestrian being hit. When first responders arrived, they found the man deceased. It is believed Noe Robles of Midland was trying to cross the road from the north side of the street to the south when he was hit by a westbound vehicle, the news release stated. He was not in a crosswalk. Authorities are withholding his name until his family has been notified. Gas storage jumps as prices stay low. Edwards Ogle say the need for natural gas will increase by Bob Campbell. American natural gas producers have been having to store a lot of their product because of the shutdown of the Freeport Liquefied Natural Gas Export Terminal and other factors, but the gas will be used because the need for it will only grow. That's according to Odessa oil man Kirk Edwards, who is one of the biggest gas producers in the Panhandle, and Southern Gas Association President CEO Suzanne Ogle of Dallas. The Freeport LNG facility was down for almost 9 months, adding in some 2 billion cubic feet per day to the storage numbers, Edwards said. That's going to storage, along with an abnormally warm winter, created a huge surplus to normal storage years and thus a tremendous downward pressure on natural gas prices to the lower $2 range. Until some event happens that gets storage numbers more in balance with the five-year norms, which could be warmer summer days ahead or hurricane events in the Gulf of Mexico, the natural gas price will remain dampened down in the lower $2 to $3 range ahead, he said. This in itself will shutter natural gas drilling in basins such as Haynesville and Marcellus, as those areas require much higher pricing to break even based on the dramatically higher cost to drill from a year ago due to inflated steel and drilling and completion prices. The Haynesville Shale is in East Texas and western Louisiana, and the Marcellus Shale in parts of Pennsylvania, New York, West Virginia, Ohio, Maryland, and Virginia. Ogle said the volume of natural gas in storage and the flow of gas into and out of storage provides significant insight into the supply-demand balance and resulting gas price trends. U.S. gas storage balances seasonal swings in demand and acts as insurance against unforeseen supply disruptions including extreme weather, she said. Two increasingly important storage uses are shoring up grid flexibility, which is a need created by the growth of gas-fired power generation, the increased use of gas for commercial and industrial purposes, and the grid's increasing reliance on renewables. In addition, as the U.S. grid increasingly relies on wind and solar, there will be an increased need for on-demand natural gas supply for reliable and responsive delivery to fuel power generation, Ogle said. Therefore, there will be an increased need for quickly accessible storage facilities near the demand market. She said the second critically important use of storage is for the increasing number of LNG export terminals along the Gulf Coast. In early April, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken prioritized energy security cooperation at the European Union capital, Ogle said. He pledged that the U.S. would send at least 50 BCM to Europe this year to aid the continent as they move from their reliance on Russian gas. LNG export is an essential energy source for global energy security because it allows the energy-deprived world to capitalize on natural gas, which is a clean and low-cost fuel source. The role of adequate storage capacity in fulfilling this promise is essential. Storage enables the coordination of the delivery of feed gas to LNG facilities and rapid loading onto LNG carriers. There are approximately 400 active storage facilities in 30 states. With sustained high dry gas production and the increasing importance of storage as a primary tool to mitigate price risk, maintain operational flexibility and system balance, and as an energy source for our friends abroad, a unified energy policy prioritizing infrastructure, including pipelines, plants, and storage is warranted, the Southern Gas Association leader said. Monday is Military Spouse Appreciation Day by Odessa American, May 7, 2023. Austin veterans and active duty military are invited to show appreciation to their spouses on Military Spouse Appreciation Day, May 8th in Texas. According to a Texas Veterans Commission press release, Military Spouse Appreciation Day honors the contributions, support, and sacrifices made by the spouses of active duty military and veterans. America's military spouses are the backbone of the families who support our troops during mission, deployment, reintegration, and reset. The commitment and support spouses provide help keep our country strong and safe. To help veterans and military show appreciation to their spouses on the home front, the Texas Veterans Commission, TVC, has created a special card for sharing. It will be posted on TVC social media sites. Listen to military and veteran spouses share their experiences and find out about active duty, transitioning, and veteran spouse resources on TVC's The Voice of Texas Veterans at tinyurl.com/BDZXT9X5. Spouses discuss successes and celebrations as well as caregiving and behavior signaling signs of needs and issues. It's really about creating these inclusive spaces where they're able to share, talk about their support needs, and really provide that support to one another. Hannah O'Brien, Program Coordinator for the Veteran Spouse Network and spouse to a Marine Corps veteran, said in the release, resources and benefits for military spouses, families, and active duty military members in Texas may be found at tinyurl.com/3K3ZPUBJ. Helping veterans start here, the Texas Veterans Commission advocates for and provides superior service to veterans that will significantly improve the quality of life for all Texas veterans, their families, and survivors. The TVC assists veterans with receiving their benefits, provides funding to agencies which provide direct services to veterans and administrators, the Hazelwood Act Education Benefits. To learn more, visit www.tvc.texas.gov. This is Obituaries. Michael Benavides, Temple, services for Michael Allen Benavides, age 59, of Morgan's Point Resort, will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, May 8, 2023, at Sanyo Harper Funeral Home, Temple, Texas, with Reverend Don Bolsell officiating. The family will receive visitors from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday, May 7, 2023, at the funeral home. Patty Geraldine Bishop, Grand Prairie, a.k.a. Patty Briggs Bishop, 65 years young, passed away on April 19, 2023. She hailed from Oklahoma and resided in Grand Prairie, Texas for over 30 years. She is survived by her husband of 36 years, Randall Bishop, mother Jerry Briggs, and her brothers John and Jay Briggs. Her hands made many meals that fed our mouths when we were hungry. She was a servant to the Lord and His word as well, and she served others with her kindness. When we look at the sky, we will think of you. Your eyes were as blue as it was. You will be missed and never forgotten. We love you, Mom. I love you, babe. Richard Benjamin Dick Hickerson, Jr., 83, passed away on May 1, 2023, after a brief illness at St. Joseph Hospital. Dick was born to Bill and Dick Hickerson in Bryan, Texas, on July 7, 1939. A memorial service will be held on Monday, May 8, with visitation at 11 a.m. and a celebration of life at 12 noon at the First Presbyterian Church in Bryan. In lieu of flowers, the family asked for donations made to the Texas A&M Foundation, 12th Man Foundation, Texas A&M Letterman's Association, or First Presbyterian Church in Bryan. Delona Madden Obituary. No services have been scheduled. Delona Gertrude Madden, 89, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 2, 2023, in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Angelita Lopez Rodriguez, 84, passed away May 3, 2023. She was born in 1939 in Fort Stockton, Texas, to Angel H. and Anazetha O. Lopez. A public visitation for Angelita will be held Saturday, May 6, 2023, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors, 4635 Oakwood Drive, Odessa, Texas, 79761. A public visitation will occur Sunday, May 7, 2023, from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., 4635 Oakwood Drive, Odessa, Texas, 79761. A burial will occur Monday, May 8, 2023, at 10 a.m. at Ector County Cemetery, 300 South Dixie Boulevard, Odessa, Texas. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.frankwilson.com for the Rodriguez family. Carol Ann Swartz, Odessa, 84, passed away peacefully on May 3, 2023. Carol was born in Sayre, Pennsylvania, to Howard and Sadie Walcott on April 12, 1939. Memorial services will be held on Saturday, May 6, 2023 at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. John Wamsley will be officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Colorful attire is encouraged and welcome. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. This is Dear Abby. In-laws visits take toll on woman's body and soul. Dear Abby, my in-laws live out of state and they would stay with us when they visited. Once my son was born, I told my husband They would need to stay in a hotel because we no longer have the room. They are also the most disrespectful house guests, and I have terrible insomnia. My mother-in-law speaks to me only when my husband is around, and my father-in-law complains about everything. Our streaming services, saying I need to buy more towels, and complaining that we don't have soda. I have tried explaining to my husband that they send my anxiety into the next dimension, but because none of this happens when he's around, he doesn't understand. I've had to ask my doctor to give me a small supply of medication for my nerves. Since they have been staying at a hotel, they complain about the cost and the accommodations. I have offered to pay for a rental. Now she's telling my husband she will buy a sleep sofa for when they visit. I have tried telling my husband all the reasons why this is not a good idea, but it always ends up in an argument. Am I being unreasonable, and should I just suck it up for a few weeks a year, or should they respect the fact that having them as house guests does not work out for our family? Defeated in Massachusetts. Dear Defeated, your in-laws appear to be quite a handful. Your solution about them staying in a hotel or rental when they visit is sensible, since they are unpleasant to be around when their son is absent. If, however, your husband won't back you up, consider spending as much time away from the house as you can during those visits. It will give Grandma and Grandpa more time to bond with the little one and save your sanity. Dear Abby, my sister ghosted me after learning I was the beneficiary of my late brother's IRA. She was demanding that I share the inheritance with our mother and possibly with her. I refused. I accepted the money to use for my mom because she may need it in her declining years. So now I have lost a brother and a sister. Do I just wait for her to begin communicating when she's ready? At times, we need to talk about our 88-year-old mother. Am I guilty of all the things she accuses me of? Being greedy, manipulative, and a betrayer and a liar? I'm not sure how to mend our rift. Sane Sis in Indiana. Dear Sis, you did nothing wrong. Your sister has convinced herself that you and your late brother have somehow cheated her and your mother out of something that was rightfully hers. Aside from splitting the money your brother left you with her, there's nothing you can do to mend that rift, and it's unlikely any amount of money could fix it now.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.